Welcome to A Few Goldilocks Bears Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about things we love, things that we hate, and things in the middle. This could be things that we're indifferent about, that we're ambivalent about, that we're on the fence about. These are the gray areas of life. These are the things that aren't in the black and white, that they don't maintain to your precious polar opposites.
Hello, this is Vincent Cloud.
Hi, this is John Nimitz.
And this is David Lauer.
And before we talk about our topics of love, hates, and ambivalences, let's talk about old topics in a segment we call the Deja Few. I will go. I got to decide which one. I have three here, but I burnt Peter Falk on the Oscars, so I'll go with another one here.
It was a good burn, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I talked about my video game, or my favorite video game, UFC 3. Well, today, or a couple days ago, you go on it, you turn on the game, and then it says, sorry, we are no longer hosting online fights or whatever. So that's done. I could only fight the AI. And it's sad because that was the most thrilling part of that game, is putting your skills against another human being out there who's going to use their player of choice to the maximum. You know, like if they're like me, you get really good with one guy and that's who you fight as. So now that I can no longer play that game, and UFC 4 sucks, UFC 5 sucks, I don't see me playing it ever again. So I just wanted to fill you guys in on the one time on UFC 3 that I became a champion. Yeah. So the rule is you win 5 fights in a row, and then which in those fights are all 3 rounds, right? So when you win your 5th, then you get to fight for the title, which is going to be 5 rounds, and you're going to fight against someone who's either just won their 5th round and now they're get to fight for the title, or they're a champ and they're defending their belt against you. So I don't know. I think he was a champion because he was wearing the black champion shorts, which is just you could choose to do that or not, but he was wearing them, so I assumed he was the champ. And yeah, he was brazen, I guess. He was head full or something, head hard, whatever, I don't know. But he was giving it all he had, trying to like knock me out. And I was like, ooh, this guy's good, he's quick and he's hitting me pretty good, but he's using up his energy, and this is 5 rounds, and I saw his endurance go down and down because I'm really good at defense, I'm used to being bombarded with shots, and he kept going and I would hit him in the gut, just sinking that energy down a little bit more and more, until finally I was able to hit him with a uppercut and I won the championship. And that was just a testament to why I love the game. You know, like, he could have easily knocked me out in that first round, but the endurance can be a factor, and my defense knowledge or whatever. So I was able to win it. And then I was a fool for this. I was like, I want to defend it because that's what usually happens in your next fight. But since you log online, and this championship was at middleweight, right? There's only like, I don't know, 8-10 weight classes, but not everyone's going to be available for a welterweight championship or middleweight championship and 5 rounds. So the next fight was just a non-title fight at like bantamweight or something, right? And I'm like, oh, well, too bad for that. The next, I don't know, week later, I log in, and it puts me as the champion, but as a totally different weight class, where I'm not as good as this person as I was in the middleweight. I lost the fucking fight. Yeah.
Well, that's bogus. I mean, like, I'm not into, like, those kind of games, but, like, in I follow like speed running and stuff, and it's like you would never like just make someone compete in a category that isn't what they're used to playing. Like that's yeah. I don't count that as a real defeat.
Well,
And I
they stripped me of the belt.
oh
I could
yeah,
never get
okay.
back to it. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. But going back to your victory though, which is what everyone here really cares about, is like
Ah.
I bet that guy was used to fighting against people with his play style who are just like aggressively offensive. But the fact that you were actually bringing the defense in and like saving your energy and stuff, he wasn't prepared for that.
Yeah. And it was against Nick Diaz, who I typically play as. That was an interesting wrinkle. Therefore, I knew his combinations. I knew how much he can throw before he has to reset. So that was a nice thing going in because I won with Yoel Romero as a middleweight, and Nick Diaz fought as a middleweight, like, I don't know, twice. So they put him in that weight class. But yeah, it was great. I love that I figured him out. That bold young man. I don't know. I wanted to be like Bane, where he's talking to Batman. He's like, "You fight like a younger man. Nothing held back. Admirable, but mistaken." Yeah, it was great. All right, should we get the show started?
Yes,
I think it's John. But John.
I think it's me too. I love the Moog synthesizer, and you may have thought it's pronounced Moog, which I definitely did at first, but I've heard otherwise. So I think it's named after a person. But basically, this is one of the earliest like ways to make like digital, or I guess it's still analog. I shouldn't say digital, but just electronic music where you're just taking electrical signal and kind of morphing it, changing the shape of the waveform, changing all the, you know, like the different aspects of like the frequency and the is it a like a sharp sawtooth wave, or is it like a smoother sine wave or like a square wave, and like basically literally like forming the shape of the sound wave, and then you and you're doing this just with like knobs and dials and different plug inputs and stuff. Like it's just like this gigantic machine, and then whatever settings you choose, then you play it out on a keyboard, like a piano type keyboard, to make the music. And when I think of it, and when I chose this topic, I was mainly thinking of like one artist who I've been a big fan of, Wendy Carlos. She had, if you've ever heard of like Switched On Bach, or there's other ones I can't remember what they are, but like the Switched On was like her basically playing classical music, but completely with the Moog synthesizer. So like she's creating with the dials and knobs, like this is a violin, and then she'll play like the violin part of the song. And this is the oboes, this is the flutes, you know, like every single instrument, and then playing each part and then putting them all together to make like a Bach music symphony. And you've probably heard her stuff, the in the Shining, she did the soundtrack for that,
Oh, wow.
Clockwork Orange, another Kubrick thing. Where I love the Clockwork Orange soundtrack so much, and like they have like the William Tell Overture done on the Moog. They have you know, like the famous Beethoven's Ninth Symphony performed on the Moog synthesizer. And honestly, like I could do a love for her music just on its own. And she was the one where I sent you guys that YouTube video of her explaining how it works. And I love how just like to her it's just so simple, like where it's like, oh, this is how, like you just shorten the waveform, you make it spikier, and then oh, it sounds like this. And like it's just insane how she's able to pull like all the different instrument sounds out of it. But then I was actually looking up like what are other y artists who used it. So like whereas she's using it as like the entire, like every single sound is coming from it, a lot of artists just used it as part of their music. So like the Doors, like for example in the song Strange Days, they used the Moog for that. The Beatles and Abbey Road and the song She's So Heavy, they used it. And there's like a bunch of other famous stuff that used it just as one of the instruments in the album. So I think that's pretty cool also. But just I guess I'm just so impressed, like back in the day where, now we have like even before you had the computer, which could make any of those sounds, you had keyboards, which just had all the preset options, like, oh, make it sound like a violin, make it sound like a horn or whatever. But to actually have to like manually tune all those things, which is so impressive to me.
So I was just going to assume that I could go into the saying like, oh, I love synth wave. Would that just be like kind of lumping it all together, or is there something specific about the Moog compared to other stuff?
I think just the earliness of it and the just like you had to be an expert to even get it to make the sound you wanted out of it. But it's definitely like kind of the base, the foundation of really any electronic music that was to come was kind of like figured out by people like figuring out how to make that thing make good music.
Wow. What do you got to say, Dave?
I think it's pretty cool. Like, I liked that video you sent us on YouTube with Wendy Carlos. Like the way like they're describing it and just like it's super simple, but it's like, oh, this is like a sawtooth wave, and then it's coming out of an oscillator into a mixer, into a synthesizer, into a filter, and you're just like, what? And it's, I don't know, but it is cool because it's like it's the way I think about it is kind of like what you're saying, where like it's like a keyboard has all these preset noises, like these different frequencies it's gonna make. But like this machine, you can take that note and you can stretch it out, or you can compress it down, or you can shape it. And you like if you think of the sound as like the wave form and you're shaping that wave in the way you want to, you can take the same like sound and just you can change the tone on it and the frequency and all this, adjust all this stuff and make it sound, if you slow it way down compared to speed it way up, you're getting two totally different sounds from like the same kind of input, just you're altering it in a way. I don't know, it is interesting. And like I didn't know that it was used like with the Doors, the Beatles, because I've always like listened to those bands and I'm and those songs, it makes sense, and I want to listen to them again because I'm like, that's weird that they had this technology back then, because it's like that was like the first wave of like electronic music, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I would like to be able to understand that because, like I said, I like synth in my music. It's really cool. Like, 80s music, people think of like hair metal, but I'm like, no, man, I'm thinking like the synth stuff. Like, whoever used it, I can't think of any right now, but you get it,
Somebody had
right?
to have.
Yeah.
Like Depeche
Well,
Mode,
yes,
Tears
there we
for
go.
Fears, like those guys.
Yeah. The Who, right? Bob O'Reilly and Won't Get Fooled Again. Wasn't that synth or no? What am
Oh
I
yeah, for
thinking?
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the Moog specifically, but definitely synth. And I just feel like that was like the first one where people were making actual music with it. Like you can find like experimental electronic music from before that era, but it was like more noise than music. It's like, oh, we technically were able to create sounds with this thing, but it's not like pleasing to listen to at all. And this was the one where people like figured out how to make stuff that sounded like really cool with it.
That Segway challenge. Let's run a segue through a what was those technical jargon you were talking about, Dave?
I don't know, a compressor and an oxidizer and a transformer.
Yeah. All right. I will talk about my hate. I hate people who love to argue. I've run into this a lot. I've run into a lot of terrible aspects of humanity. But this is one of the things where it just bothers me because I'm not a confrontational person. But you'll run into people who are just like they're bored with their life. And they're like, I must, sharpen my brain against someone else's. I must have a match, a match of wits with someone. I want to enjoy the back and forth volley, good sir. I'm not into that at all. I don't get into it. As soon as I realize it's happening, you don't want to call them out on it because then it's just you're still getting engaged with them. They're like, oh yes, oh, this is my favorite part when he gets angry or something like that, you know? It's bothersome. I always want to be like, you want to do this? You want to get paid to do it? Go be a lawyer or some shit. Like, I am not here to compete with you, good sir. And it's typically men. Men who seem to think they're, oh yes, I am so smart. Vince, you seem like you're a good sport. Let's lock horns. I'm not into it. It's a really bizarre. What's that one fucking meme where that guy's sitting behind a table and it's like, Anthrax is the best metal band ever. Change my mind. And he's sitting there all smug, like he's got his cup of coffee. He's like, I'm just gonna argue with people all day. Gross. I fucking hate that shit. You know, I think it's so bizarre that they like one of the worst aspects of human interaction, which is the argument, you know? So I ran into some people, and like some people they want to argue, they have to have the last word, but this is one dude. Oh my God, we'll just call him BB. He would take forever with his comeback. You would see him literally sit there, look up, and like, what am I gonna say next? You know? And he took forever. And I was like, oh my God. It was like this group meeting at work, and this guy was supposed to take our concerns and stuff. And I'm like, hey, there's this thing wrong and whatever. And I would hit him with something, and he's just like, he didn't know what to say. He's thinking of his comeback, but he's arguing with me. He's trying to reduce whatever it is I just said to him, you know? So again, this is not getting anything done. And I run into this. Liars. Eventually, they will lie. And at that moment, I'm like, well, we're not arguing at this anymore. This is not an argument. Isn't an argument like weighing each side of something or presenting, going through the facts? If you're straight up just making something up to rattle me or to see like you're having the upper hand, what is that? I don't even know what that's called. What is that? Just a spat, a vocal battle? I don't get it. But it's something very common with people who love to argue. I know someone who he's like, I will not date a woman if she can't argue with me. I'm like, what? Like, oh my God. Yeah, I don't know. What do you guys have to say about people who love to argue?
Just Yeah, I'm trying to process it. So like, what do you think of like people who want to play devil's advocate? Like,
That's different. That's completely different. No, I'm talking about people who they it's all about the battle. And so they can disagree with whatever it is I just said. I call them counter strikers. They're not going to say anything until I say something, and then they're going to go and like, oh, but the opposite is available, and the opposite is this. And it's like, yes, that's true. But like, this is not how a conversation goes. This is just so confrontational, you know? It's so bizarre. Ugh.
yeah, I get it. Yeah, so it definitely just sucks as part of conversation. But I've definitely been like that guy seeking out arguments in the
No
past.
way,
So
really?
like, yeah, like when I like first like stopped believing in God, I would like go online and seek out like debate religion forums and stuff, and like go like and chat with people who were Christians or whatever, and just like, you know, like, because I think at the time a big part of me still wanted to like believe in it because it was like so part of my life growing up. So I'm like, there, you know, there has to be something I'm missing, like convince me that whatever.
Change my mind.
Yeah, change my mind. But then like that, it got tiresome pretty quickly, just like in those cases, because like in my mind I was like rebelling against the specific version of Christianity that I grew up with, and everyone's Christianity is so different from each other. So like I would make a point about, say, like, oh, well, Christians believe this thing about hell or whatever. And then they would be like, well, I don't believe that. And I'm like, okay, well, then my quarrel is not with you. Like,
Good sir.
yeah, it was just like at that point so specific that I wasn't, you know, who I really wanted to argue with was my dad or whatever. And like, I wasn't going to find him on an online forum. So,
They're like, who you really want to argue with is God.
he's busy. So that's kind of my foray in that world. And I do like also being devil's advocate, but I'm also like try to be very clear that like this is the role I'm playing,
Right.
and I want to also like maintain a good faith argument that like if you make a point, I want to do my best to concede that you've made a point and that maybe I was kind of on the wrong path. Obviously, I'm not perfect at that, but that's my goal at least.
Take it away,
Yeah, I
Dave.
think like with the religion thing, like I go to church all the time and I don't like to argue at all, but like I hear from other fellow Christians like what they believe, and I constantly just disagree with what they're saying. I'm like, I don't think that's true. That's not right. But I just keep it in my head, and I'm just like, okay. I'm just like, I'm not gonna argue it. That seems like it just doesn't seem right. I don't agree with it. But it's one of those things where it's like, I don't like to argue. I'm just gonna move on. And it's I saw this quote from Keanu Reeves, and I took a screenshot of it, and I have it on my phone. And Keanu Reeves, like, he says a lot of really smart, like, stoic stuff. And he has a quote, and it was like, I'm at the stage of my life where I stay out of arguments. If you say 1 + 1 = 5, fine. You're right. Have fun. I don't care. Like, you can say something that makes no sense, and it's just like, whatever. Like, you think that, and it's like, I'm gonna go on living my life, believing what I believe. It's, you know, it's like, once I feel like when I was younger, I would argue with people over stuff, but as like I've gotten older and you've seen like people have debates and like people having a debate over something, like it doesn't interest me at all because it's like I've heard every argument on all sides of every debate. There's like almost no topic I haven't like seen or heard something, unless it's like a very obscure topic, then maybe not. But it's like I've heard all sides and it's just like I don't care. Like it is what it is at this point. And it's like everybody's gonna believe what they're gonna believe, and I don't really care. With like when it comes to like people who like to argue, when I got a job, I had two coworkers that I thought were arguing all the time. I legit thought they hated each other. But then I found out like maybe 4 or 5 weeks into working there that they weren't arguing. They were actually like really good friends. But that was just how they communicated. One person would say one thing, the other person would just be devil's advocate. And they were like, they're just doing it to like have like a mental fencing match to like
Exactly. Yeah.
sharp iron sharpens iron. And they love that. And like they're just really into it. And I'm just like, I want no part of this. And I would listen to it. And like sometimes it would be really entertaining. And sometimes it would be super annoying. Like depending on what they're talking about. And they'll just be like, well, actually. And it's every response is, well, actually, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, oh my gosh, my brain is gonna melt. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, but I would understand they both know what they're getting into. They know the rules of their friendship and how their thing is. It's those people that try and rope you into something because they want they're trolls. I mean, I think there's a fine line between that and trolls and yeah, it's just it's not for me. And yeah, I don't know. It just seems like with people that are like that, there are people that I run into that argue with me. There are people in my life that argue with me who love to argue. But after a while, I swear to God, I don't need them around and I can have a conversation with them because whatever it is I just said, they're going to go the opposite direction. And I know there's different sides of the coin. You don't have to bring that up all the fucking time. And so really, I could just sit here and have a conversation with so and so, because that's what they're bringing to the table. Nothing. Oh, I hate them, boys.
At work, I'm definitely like not the argumentative type at all. Like, I'll do like these research projects, and someone will like, I'll present my findings, and someone will be like, "Well, I don't think that's true," and I'm like, "Okay, fine." Like, here's like, I'll tell you step by step how do I came to my conclusions. If you don't want to believe it, like, okay. And like Dave, you're talking about your coworkers who, like, we're always arguing. Like, it reminds me of when I worked in tech support, there was a couple of the guys on the team who were like that. But it was like often, like, I felt like I had to like serve as a translator because, I'd be listening to them argue, feeling like they're both like saying the same thing. And then I would just be like, I think you guys agree. Like, I think he's saying this and you're saying that. And like, it's really the same thing. And like, that was my role a lot of times, was just to like translate between two people who actually agreed with each other but didn't realize it.
I have coworkers like that now, where one person will say one thing, the other person will be like, well, the thing is like, don't forget this part of it. And then the other person like comes back and it's like, they're at no point disagreeing with each other. They're always just adding, they're like slightly steering the topic towards a different little nuance of the subject, but they're never disagreeing. But it sounds like, but they're like heated and it's like they're having an argument, but they've never disagreed on a single thing they said. And I'm just like sitting there, and I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? Like, none of this is productive. Just say, like, oh yeah, I agree. Just nod and okay, move on.
With all that being said, I am pretty good at arguing. It's just because I know exactly how to explain my side, and I remember everything they're saying. So when their little contradictions pop up, I could be like, no, you just said this, you know? But that's another thing with the constant arguer, they will forget what they argued about because they're always just going the other way, whatever. So they will totally fucking like contradict themselves within a few minutes sometimes. It's
Right, because
horrible.
yeah, it's not a good faith argument. They're not arguing what they actually believe. They're just arguing against the whatever. And like that like I consider myself, fairly well versed in politics and what's going on in the world and whatnot. But like I'll talk with people who want to like argue their point. And they'll just say something like so outlandish that is just like out of the realm of like a point of view or a way of interpreting whatever news happened, that I'll just be so flummoxed by it that I'll be unable to argue against it. Like, oh wow, like I never even thought anyone would think that. I don't even know how to respond to what you just said. So in that sense, I tend to not be great at arguing about against that kind of stuff.
All right. Segue challenge.
Well, actually, one other thing on this topic. Have you guys ever heard like what modern like debate is? Like, if you're in the college debate club or the high school debate club or whatever, like what that's like. It's so different and like apart from anything that resembles like actually arguing with someone and trying to get your point across. Like it's all scored on points of how many points can you like how many topics, like how many points of discussion can you bring out in your allotted 2 minutes or whatever. And then they have to respond to all of your points before they can bring up new points. So it's literally like the Micro Machine guy, if you remember those commercials, like basically someone talking as fast as they can to try and bring up as many points of discussion as they can in their allotted time. And then the other person has to speak as fast as they can to respond to your points before they can bring up anything new. And it's just so ridiculous. Like, the idea of like, oh, we're having a debate and we're trying to change the mind of the audience is just like out the window. It's just like following these weird arbitrary rules that has no relevance in daily life, I think.
Wow. Yeah, that's not like, you hear about it like, oh, college, they're not preparing them for the real world. And I'm always like, oh, shut up, you old man. But with that though, where it's like, nah, people don't argue like that. They do not let you so many things and then they will respond like, no. Poor kids. That is very weird. But I see a lot of auction work in their future.
Yes.
All right. Well, that was people who love to argue going once. People who would love to argue going
Oh,
twice. Go ahead,
I think we
Dave.
should not do a new topic. I think we should keep on this one.
Go ahead, Dave. Close us out.
I have something that I'm indifferent to. I think I'm indifferent to it. I don't care in any way. So yeah, I guess I'm indifferent. High school reunions. I don't know. I graduated. I'm 39, so I graduated high school, what, 21 years ago. I guess there was a 20-year class reunion last year. But I literally have no idea if that happened or not. It probably did, but maybe it didn't. And like, I'm totally just like, I don't care. Like, high school reunions to me, I feel like it's like something from like a different era. Like maybe if you graduated in, 1958 and high school was this cool thing and you want to go see all the people from your town that you grew up in. But to me, like high school, like I don't know. I feel like high school to me was like a form of prison where I was like, I was forced to go there. I didn't want to be there. It was miserable. Like, yeah, I had some friends, but I didn't have many. Like, yeah, I got picked on, but it wasn't the worst. Like, there's kids who had it worse than me, but there's kids who had it better than me. I don't know. I was very middle of the road, but there was nothing enjoyable about high school. Like, it doesn't mean I didn't have fun sometimes or have friends that I liked. But the idea of like hanging out with these people 20 years later, like maybe it's because of like Facebook. You can see just like some random pictures that people post, and you're like, oh yeah, they got a wife and kids. And okay, like I guess they went to Florida last week and posted some pictures about it. Like, cool. Like, I don't, like, I don't care. I don't know. It's just a big whatever to me. It's like the people, there's a few people from high school I still have contact with. It's not a lot, but like we'll randomly like message each other on like Facebook Messenger like every couple months about, similar interests we have, or whether we saw a movie or saw some event, or like, oh, you should check this out, or just like a funny video that we know the other person would be interested in. But there's no way I would ever go to a high school reunion. Like I don't care. It's out of the 100% of the people I went there with, I really maybe only want to see 1%, if that. Like I don't care. Have you guys ever been to a high school reunion? Would you ever want to go?
Yeah, I went to
I
that
have not.
10-year reunion, and it was fine. I wasn't a big Facebook person, so it was kind of a mystery what a lot of the people were up to, and I did hang out with people who I was pretty good friends with at the time and lost contact with, so in that sense it was successful. I definitely, like obviously the reunion's going to be in the town where your high school was. And when I arrived, like not maybe at immediately, but kind of early on after it started. And the people who were there, like I kind of got the impression like, oh, you guys like still see each other all the time. And this is like just another hangout for you. And like, no, I'm coming in as kind of an outsider. And then like more additional people showed up then who were also like showing up for the first time after 10 years or whatever. So in that sense, it kind of leveled the playing field. And then I guess, yeah, our 20-year reunion happened and I didn't go to that one. So I guess maybe that reveals how I felt about it, but yeah, kind of indifferent in, I guess not as a, I don't care about them, but kind of more torn about if I would want to go to one or not again, like if there was a 30-year one or whatever.
Did they do 25? Isn't it every 5 years or no?
I think it's every 10. Or
Really?
I've only been getting half the invitations, I guess.
Yeah. Well, John, had I gone, maybe I would have seen you, but you only did the one. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I didn't go, and I have no desire to, like the people that I enjoyed are the people that I continue to talk to, like John, Well, though there were some years where we haven't talked for a while, but
But, not on purpose.
Right. Yeah, it's just we. Who can sh stop two ships? What? No, that's not it. Man. So yeah, I didn't really enjoy high school. It f did feel like a prison. Like I totally felt that way. Where I'm like, I gotta make my license plates and stuff like that. But enjoyed my little small group that I made. Met some cute girls. But I actually, I thought about this today. I never really got along with our grade. I got along a lot better with the grade before us and the grade after us. Not so much with our own grade. That was interesting. I mean, I don't care enough, but that's what I realized after a while, where I'm like, I don't really care for the class of 03. Yeah, it was weird.
But like, I mean, talking about the high school experience in general, like going beyond reunions, but like, I always like when I was in high school, I just had this feeling like high school didn't really matter, and I always felt kind of apart from like there was always like the drama of all the high schoolers' interactions with each other. And I just always found it like weird and amusing, kind of like an alien observer or whatever. And I never really felt part of it. Like, like people would be mad at each other and I would just kind of laugh and be like, that's weird that they're mad. So I just never felt like in the moment there, like I never felt like the drama there mattered. And as a result, I think I had a much better time than I could have otherwise. And I got along with everyone pretty well, I think. Like, you always think of like all the different lunch tables or whatever where all the different groups hung out, and I could pretty much like sit down at any table and hang out with people and have a decent time. But then at the same time, and I felt this more acutely in college, like even though I could get along with everyone, I didn't really in high school, like I did have a core group who I felt I actually belonged with, even if I was hanging out with other people. But in college, like I felt less like I had a core group. And I only had people that I could get along with just fine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. The appeal of meeting, I can't think of anything. I can't think of someone who could have improved over the years. Maybe that's cool. I know that there's this guy named Chris. He was a friend with our friend Jesse, and he was so obnoxious in high school, and he loved being that way. But then I ran into him probably 10 years after that, and he was completely changed. He was married, had a kid. He completely settled down. Like that rambunctious high schooler would have beat the shit out of that other guy, It was crazy. What a transformation. So it would be cool to see that. But honestly, like I've kept in touch with the people I've wanted to keep in touch with. Even people that I wasn't so close with were friends on Facebook. And so I have no desire to look up anyone new. Yeah, I'm willing to let that be in the past. Nothing against them, really, but I don't care. Like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, honestly, like the people like I was most curious about were like the people who would never go to a reunion, like the super introverted people, like really kept to themselves, and like you'd see them and like you'd always have like awkward interactions with them and stuff. Like I always wondered like how they ended up, like where they ended up, but you never hear that stuff because they're not making it known.
Oh, okay, real quick. It's always funny the person in charge of getting everybody together every 10 years or so. We have this girl or woman. She's probably a mother now.
It's probably our age by now.
Yeah. Happens to the best of us. Oh, that's the other thing. I saw a picture of our old re like the 20-year one that I missed. I'm like, we're all fat. All right. Let's see now. That was basically the biggest takeaway. I'm like, oh, he got fat. That's funny. He used to be in shape. Oh, she was super hot. Now she's fat. I still bag it. Just things are a little bit heavier now. We're wheezing now. Yeah. All right.
I know, so like another like thing is that last year I went to Rockfest and my buddy Josh Hathaway came along and he didn't go to my high school, but he went to like a neighboring high school and he is like a social butterfly and he was like, oh, I'm back in town. I'm gonna like post on Facebook and like message everybody that is gonna be at Rockfest and we're gonna hang out. So like this is like I don't like spontaneity, but like Josh would constantly just be like, hey, let's go over to this campsite and meet up with this person. And I was like, okay, I guess. Like I was intoxicated, like drinking beer. So I was like, okay, let's find like whatever. So like constantly hanging out with Josh, it was awesome because I'm just like meeting all these people that I haven't seen in like 15, 20 years. But it was that feeling of like, I have nothing to talk about because I haven't seen you in 15 or 20 years. Like the only thing we can talk about is like, well, what do you do for a job? Do you have kids? Where do you live now? Like all of these like, oh, remember so and so? Oh yeah. And then like maybe like tell a story of back then. But there's only those simple like little chit-chatty things you can say. And I was like, okay, I think we're done here. Bye. See you never. I don't know. But like it was interesting because I actually Josh we were hanging out with a girl we went to high school with, Bethany, and Bethany was hanging out with her friend Danielle. And they're like, hey, do you remember this guy, Robert, from high school? He was a grade above us. And I was like, yeah, I remember that guy. Like, his parents owned the video barn and they rented out movies in town. And he was a really quiet kid, but he was really cool. And then they're like, yeah, he's playing in a band tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And they're like, yeah, he's the lead singer of the band. And I'm like, my mind was blown. I'm like, this guy went to high school. He's the lead singer of a band now. So like the next day, like we go and we watch him and like he was incredible. And not only was he the lead singer of the band, but he was the best part of the band. Like he was easily the most talented person. He was more talented than people playing the instruments. He was just up there like belting out the lyrics and like putting on a performance and it was great. His band is Eyes Like Midnight.
Oh,
And
I was going to make a
it
joke,
was super
and
cool
that
to
student
see.
was Serge Tankian. Go
Not quite yet, but like
on.
maybe one day. Like, and it was super cool. But then, like later that day, I was like, I saw his band, but I didn't see him hanging out with his band. And I would have like said something, but I'm like, I only see his band and I don't see him, so he's probably and like he's local to the Rockfest area, so he's probably talking to like some family or friends or something. But I was like, eh, why would I even introduce myself? Like, it's like, hey, remember me? Yeah, barely. I barely remember you too. Like, yeah, you're have a way cooler job than me. You're the lead singer of a band. Like, I don't know. Like the whole like social interaction part is like it's kind of where it falls apart for me, where I'm just like, it's really cool. Like, I like your music, but I don't know. Probably not gonna be friends.
Well,
Your
yeah.
story didn't go where I expected it to. My father-in-law will always talk to my wife, and he'll be like, "Hey, do you remember such and such?" Like, "Oh yeah, like, yeah, you know, her parents owned the liquor store. Yeah, I remember her. She's dead." That's how those stories always end when he's telling them. So, I was happy that yours didn't go that way. John, how long were you at the reunion? Did you just stop by, or did you have, like a ha little half an hour chat, then you got out? What'd you do?
I bet I was there a couple hours. I definitely didn't stay as long as like a lot of people did, but long enough to interact with multiple groups of people and hang out with people I haven't seen for a while, and then people I saw around the Twin Cities at the time who, haven't seen them for a long time either now.
I don't know. I just find the idea of like running into someone where I'm like, we barely talked. Do we talk now? Well, that's the point, right? And you get there, or you walk up to them, and you're like, well, yeah, we've never talked before. How do we do it now? You know? Like, how awkward is it if you show up at a reunion and you don't interact with everybody? You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
It
I think
just.
that completely defeats the purpose.
Yeah. And I think graduating was the purpose, not to, you know, not to get back together. Fuck that. Fuck all that.
My parents always, or my dad, I guess, always talks about how he went to his first reunion, probably 10 years or whatever. And I don't remember if he invited people over or like his buddy invite, like they one, you know, one of the group of friends invited everyone over for like, hey, do you guys want to come over after the reunion and hang out? And then like only three couples out of everybody showed up. So they're like going forward then like, all right, then we never went to another reunion again. And those like three couples hung out for, the following decades to come, that like, all right, these are the people who I actually want to hang out with, and I'm not gonna bother with reunions anymore.
That's the show, I say. I don't know. See you guys in 10 years.
10 years from now, let's meet up.
I may not respond to the invitation.
Oh man. Yeah, that's the show. Go to a few Goldilocks Bears podcasts. Or no, wait. Go to a few goldilocksbears.com. Oh man, we're not gonna save this outro.
I'm sure we did a good one at some point. I'm John
And I'm David Lauer. Have a good one.
Nemeth.